Welcome to the Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Linderman.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Voice of Experience. Hey, Max.
Hi, Elke. How you doing?
I'm good. Max, it's as if we haven't been spending enough time together on client work recently. Here we are. Another
more
podcast
is
episode.
More, Elke, more is more with you. That's all I got to say.
I can't quit you, Max. I can't. Yeah, no, it's good. This will be a fun one. We're very lucky today because we have another special guest. And that is Joe Leitner, who is the executive creative director. And I don't know, I think Joe's a pretty interesting guy. Wouldn't you agree?
One of the most interesting.
I think so, too. So for those of you who don't know Joe, he has roots as a creative technologist, bringing both technical fluency and imagination to his work. He believes the industry only moves forward when we learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I love that.
Oh, it's my favorite saying.
Right? I know. We're both down for that. And because when you're doing something that truly stands out, it means you're taking risks. We talk about risk taking and how important that is in the work. And above all, he believes creativity should be fun because without joy, the work loses its soul. Wah, wah, wah. So welcome to the Voice of Experience, Joe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hello. How are you guys?
We are great. Right. Joe, thanks for having curious. Me. Curious, have you had any good nicknames over the years?
Was this a PG-13 podcast?
Oh, this is fully R-rated.
It's explicit. Like, we were good.
Omnicom approved R-rated, so.
It's always variations of my last name in some ways. You know, it's kind of funny. I often say I tend to be, if you can go through places throughout your life, people that get first names, get nicknames, and get called by their last name, I'm almost always just Leitner. Seems to be people.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Hey, for those of us, all of us who are on a podcast, it must be mentioned that Joe has like the full creative technologist beard that I think like screams like, I know what I'm doing.
It's epic.
It's like having like an English accent as a strategist. Like you have a creative technologist with like a full beefy beard, you're like, that guy is going to run through walls for me.
Oh my God. I think you just came up with a nickname, Beefy Beard. That could be it.
Been called worse.
Sorry, Leitner. Okay. So anyway, we asked Joe to join us today to pick up on an interesting conversation we had earlier in the year about AI and creativity. That episode was focused on self-esteem. And so as creative innovators, there are a few more thoughts I'd love for us to tackle. So let's dive in. So first question for, I'll throw this to you, Joe, first. From your unique vantage point as an executive creative director, how has your understanding of AI's role in your work evolved? Or what unexpected shifts or realizations have reshaped your perspective?
I think for me, I mean, the most obvious one is iteration at speed, right? So just being able to rapidly generate hundreds of variations on an idea, right? Starting with a concept and really being able to shape it. And I'd add to that just the democratization of asset prototyping, right? So for someone like me who has a background more slanted toward technology and not necessarily art, as we're sitting through and we're brainstorming ideas, I'm trying to explain everything with words. And it's been much more beneficial to me to be able to match those words with images with walkthroughs of videos, right? Being able to bring things to life and go beyond mood boards and deliver something that exceeds vibes to really, once again, accentuate the ideas I have in my head and get other people to really see where I'm going and where I'm headed.
That's pretty awesome.
I love that. Can I just replay like the something that exceeds vibes, you know, that iteration approach, I think that Joe touches on is massive, right? It allows you to get to more trust from the creative idea because you've done the iteration. So mm-hmm. a lot of times we leave it up for the client to kind of like feel the vibes and like, yeah, I know what that sort of looks like. But that means that there's 8, 9, 10 people in the room that have a mind's image of their own, of what that vibe is. But that rapid iteration and getting people into the work faster, right? Doing that fly through, doing that walk around, doing that, like you're in the experience itself, I think is going to be a massive boon in how ideas get sold. And I think ideas will get sold faster.
So can AI, in your opinion, Max, can it be truly creative, or is it just a tool extending human creativity? And like, where do you draw the line?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to talk personally. I don't think it could be purely creative. It could be, to Joe's point, it could be, you know, very, very iterative. But remember that it's iterative on what it knows, right? And so the race of iteration typically will go towards the median, right? Like something that is not as challenging, maybe not as provocative as a human. But if you consider, like, you know, the creative process as banging your head against the wall until something like emerges, it's good at that. Net new creativity, I've never used it for that. I wouldn't trust it.
Yeah, interesting. So related to that, you know, one of the biggest beefs with AI is this potential lack of originality, rather. So, Joe, as you talk about like iteration, do you think that AI can actually help unlock new forms of originality?
I think it can amplify imagination, right? AI isn't magic, right? It's basically math disguised as meaning. I mean, it's all built on probability. So I do think it can unlock new perspective, new angles. But, you know, to build on Max's point, it relies on predictable patterns and then remixes them. And, you know, as a creative, we're always looking to break patterns, right? Really challenge conventional thinking. So
totally.
I think at times, once again, it can give you new perspectives, but I would never rely on AI to give me the soul of an idea at its initial conception.
Yeah, Max, what do you think?
Other than math disguised as meaning, oh my God, Joe.
There's so many good lines.
Oh my God, he's just dropping bombs left, right, and center. I love it. I couldn't agree more. Like, I'll tell our esteemed listeners how I use AI. I use AI just at the beginning. Like, I don't go, like, I truly believe that the power of human creativity is, you know, drives the universe. I wouldn't give that up to a machine to math, you know, disguised as meaning. I just don't. I use it to get rid of the schlock, you know, to just shake the cobwebs out of my head,
sure.
and then challenge myself to, you know, like come up with something that's never been thought of before, which is not where you're going to get with, you know, a typical LLM.
Interesting. I'll say, as a strategist, for me, the real magic of AI kind of reveals itself in custom built tools, especially when it's powered by any sort of like proprietary first party data. So it's not just about automation. It's about unlocking a new perspective that maybe was previously a bit out of reach. And, you know, GMR, obviously, we've made a really big investment here in this capability, in that our primary data hasn't just enhanced our work, it's really elevated it, right? Max, you and I talk about it all the time. Like, this understanding that we now have of the human that a brand is trying to reach is much more precise, but also, I'd say, undeniably more impactful. So I think the tool built on what we know, what we've learned, what we've analyzed is really where the magic is. Do you feel differently?
But the nuance is there, right? It's like, we use these tools, and I couldn't agree more. Like, the custom tools and training thinking on our own thinking is very, very useful. It's beyond useful. It's revolutionary, because, you know, I'm going to use that Donald Rumsfeld thing. It's like, we know what we don't know, and we don't know what we don't know, and we know what we don't know that we don't know, right? And so what it could give us, like, these custom tools and training and tuning it on our own thinking, shows us blind spots, right?
I love
shows
that.
Us, it shows us, but I wouldn't equate that as creative. I wouldn't equate that as creativity. I wouldn't equate that as uncovering a blind spot as creative. It's the first step,
yeah.
right? Like we do such a great job with Soul Science and uncovering tension, right? And seeing tension where we normally wouldn't, like we would just gloss over it because we're finding meaning without the math, to use Joe's like equation. But when we do find some math that matches some of our assumptions and it uncovers even deeper ones, that's really powerful to yeah. start the creative process.
Yeah, completely agree. So on this same sort of line of thinking, you know, we're talking about how AI is useful and what it, you know, the merits of AI as a tool and enabler, you know, where does it fail, Joe? And have you ever experienced an epic fail when using AI?
I check my work when it comes to AI because AI very confidently can deliver the wrong answers. Right. So you need to make sure that you're checking all of that to make sure that everything it's delivering is accurate or even up to date. Right.
Sure.
Based on how often, what data it's pulling from, what version you're working with, how much it's hallucinating. You need to make sure that's accurate. I would say the other thing for me, too, is, you know, Max had mentioned it before with blind spots, but it also can reinforce biases. Right. So you need to constantly ask yourself, are there any voices missing? You know, is any culture being borrowed without being credited? To make sure that, once again, you're thinking about it holistically as you approach an idea. And then equally, I do think, you know, I spoke earlier to speed. It is very easy to overconcept. You know, Max had talked about using it in the beginning. You can really, you can really drown in volume over clarity. So that's, you know, oftentimes it's even if it's not being creative in the way that we would traditionally view creativity, oftentimes you can use it in the inverse to get you to understand what you don't want to approach, right? And then shoot for elegance through that because it's giving you a lot of ideas that, quite frankly, can be rather hacky and expected. So, you know, you can use that as a filter to hopefully springboard off of something a little bit more interesting.
God, I love that.
Like, it's so interesting to me as I listen to Joe, and you're so right. Like, you know, in terms of the flattery that occurs even, right? Like in that UX, yeah, like the way that, like, oh, what a wonderful way to, you know, I love the way this is going and where this is thinking. And it's so easy to get caught up in that pablum, right? And so I use it every single day. But Joe, I gotta say, in the year that I've been deep into it, I have never been once impressed with an original thought, right? Like that I saw, that I read. Like I would have to dig really, really deep and almost play Wordle to find it. But in terms of the hackiness of it, it's still quite hacky. It, as an LLM, now it becomes really interesting if it's your own product, right? If it's your own agent and you're using it very much like a partner. In that regard, maybe there's originality that you can kind of eke out of the stone. But quite frankly, I have not. I really haven't been impressed by the originality. I've just been impressed by the iterative nature and the access to thinking that this tool gives us.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that kind of speaks to the, I must call it a fail necessarily, but the limitations, right? And understanding that you have to apply those filters and that extra layer of due diligence and then not get caught up in sort of I love the term flattery, as you're kind of talking about this. So, Joe, you mentioned hallucinations. And so, a little bit of a pivot here and see who wants to take this one, but deepfakes. How can deepfake technology enhance creative storytelling and marketing? Can it?
I think it can, right? I think once again, it's how we're defining deepfake. And I think right now, when you just think about general cultural impact and application of deep fakes, you tend to view them more as deception or unethical ways. But for us, I mean, we certainly can, once again, you know, use them in really creative ways. I mean, you can recreate historical figures. You can have conversations with digital clones. We can recreate alternate realities for people. I mean, there's a lot of ways that we can bring individuals to life that we wouldn't normally be able to have conversations with. I think, once again, we just have to be clear. You know, in some instances, it's going to be obvious, right? If you're bringing back a historical figure. In other instances, if it's an athlete, I mean, even if you think about fictional characters that you can bring back, you know, think of like a Marvel universe that you can have an interaction with. Those are all things that you can bring to life and have one-to-one conversations with. And when you think about the tech stacks that we can build now, you can have live one-on-one real-time conversations with some of these avatars. So absolutely, we can use it in really creative ways. It's just, I mean, once again, we're only limited by our own imagination and our ability to communicate with machines.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's, like, even the term deepfake has a little bit of a negative connotation, like some pejorative nature to it, because it's been used for, you know, not good. But to Joe's point, like now we have this capability of, like, remember, like, political cartoons, right? Like parody, you know, a little bit of protest. All of those used what I would call, like, name, image, and likeness, like, you know, like a fake thing, where for decades, centuries, we would use that kind of fakery, right, around known figures, around celebrities, around past figures to make a point, right, to make some sort of commentary, to you know, check power from the sides. That is still possible with this, and it's really, really interesting how, like, you know, the medium changes, so to speak, right? But, like, the intention can stay the same, and as long as, like, creators and marketers and I don't know, like, Hollywood uses this for the right intention, right? For moving forward rather than just, like, tearing people down, then I think the whole notion of deep fake, or there'll probably be a different, you know, synthetic celebrities would probably be would have a different connotation than it has right now.
I think that's totally fair. If what we're saying is sort of really understanding the value that AI can bring to us as strategists, as creatives, and that human creativity is still focused on sort of, call it, like, the strategic and emotional aspects of marketing and advertising, then the talent stack looks different, right? The skill set of the future looks different. So how are you both as leaders thinking about that when it comes to acquiring new talent? And are you starting to build this new skill set and this requirement into your competencies? Like, how are you thinking about that?
I mean, I'll go full circle and say that the number one competency, at least what I'm looking for in the new day and age, is comfort in being uncomfortable, right? And so if you're the type of, you know, personality that has that innate ability to sit in discomfort, which could be ignorance or, you know, unknowledge, but can sit through it and get, you know, really kind of, like, interesting things out of that discomfort, out of that tension, then you have a huge future.
Huge.
Right?
Yeah.
It's huge. And AI is a huge discomfort for a lot of people. So you use it as a barometer. Like, how uncomfortable are you with it, and how long can you sit in that uncomfortability? That's what I'd like to measure.
Love that. Joe, do you have any different thoughts, or what's on your mind?
No, I agree. I think it's also, it's just taking into consideration general disposition, right? I mean, you want people that approach AI with enthusiasm. You want people that have curiosity, right? Because I would still argue, and I agree, that with these tools, we are kind of in some way expanding, obviously, creative and technical proficiency, but still, individuals who come in with a background in film can prompt an AI engine in a much more specific, distinct way than someone cannot, right? Now, that those are all prompting engineering tools and treatments that can be learned, but still, it is the desire and the curiosity to explore these new tools, to play around with them, even outside of work, right? I mean, you can have a lot of fun with these tools. I spent, you know, I think I've had my, I've had LLMs respond to me as a variety of different celebrities, from Macho Man Randy Savage to Mitch Hedberg, right? Just for fun, just to play around with some of these, to see how far we can stretch them and what we can play with. So I think in a lot of these instances, it is just that general curiosity to approach these tools with an open mind and see how far we can stretch them.
That's so helpful. I'm going to bring us home. In listening to this conversation, being part of it, you know, I think it's clear that we all sort of agree that the real magic happens when human ingenuity and AI collaborate, and by embracing AI as an enabler. And Max, I remember you talking about this years ago, and investing in, you know, new skill sets and valuing discomfort, we're really poised to expand creative horizons, deliver much more memorable work, and shape a future where tech and creativity can move forward together. So with that, Joe, I want to say thank you for joining us today. And please, please, please come back.
Please do. Look, for just dropping knowledge like that. I have like so many notes.
And those pithy lines. I know, they're so good.
T-shirt lines.
Please come back.
Anytime you guys ask. Thank you very much.
And Max, I look forward to seeing you on Teams in probably the next 10 minutes.
Probably even shorter than that. I'll see you soon. Okay.
Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.